Welcome to the No Limit Selling Podcast, where industry leaders share their advice on how you can become better, stronger, faster. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the No Limit Selling Podcast. And today we have Stacy Short with us, and she's got an amazing story and strategies to make you, yes, you, better, stronger, faster. Stacy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So why don't you give us kind of that 411 with a nice girl like you doing a podcast like this? How did you get to this spot in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the really, really short version is that I grew up wanting to help people. And I got my degree in psychology in 2002 from the University of Oklahoma. And then in 2005, I had my son. And we didn't know what was going on with him, but it turns out we almost lost him twice in 2 years. And he was 23 months when we got the diagnosis that he actually was born without an immune system. So life changed drastically at that point in time. And everything that I had laid out for myself career-wise pivoted overnight. That was no longer possible. And so what happened is I pivoted back into food and beverage. I went and served tables again and worked in hotels. I live in Vegas, so I worked on the strip. And that was so I could take my son to doctor's appointments, so I could take him to specialists, so I could take him to therapy, so I could be home when he was sick, which was quite a lot. And when you're trying to be in the mental health field, people count on you to be at the appointments that you set with them.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't do that. I had to put him first and I had to put his needs first. And so being in the mental health field just was not an option for me any longer. And so, yeah, I was in food and beverage for 15 years after that. And I completely lost myself in the caretaking role. I lost myself in being everything to everybody and nothing to myself. And I didn't know who I was anymore. And I really got resentful around that. And it's not my son's fault or my ex-husband's fault or my youngest son's fault, but I just wasn't taking care of myself because I felt like I didn't need to. I felt like, oh, I'll just do it later, right? I'll be later. Everybody else needs me first. And that's such backwards thinking, but yet we do it all the time.
It's actually exactly the way society has programmed us to think. Guilt to the heart if you did something for yourself, like got your hair done or something like that. It's like, oh, how could I do that when this other thing is going on? And so I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Then we're going to go from that point forward later on. So when someone has a situation like that, you know, where you have a child born without an immune system. But before we get started, how's he doing?
He's perfect. We get an infusion of an immune system every 4 weeks. A nurse comes into our home. It's a 6-hour infusion. And that is enables him. He graduated from high school in May. So he was able to do that. I know. And this week he's going to start looking for his first job. Next semester, he's going to take a class. So everything is as it should be. It's just a little less and a little delayed timeline, which is fine. Everybody doesn't have to run at the same pace. And so the fact that he is even able to live a somewhat normal teenage life, I'm good with that. I'm absolutely good with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. All right. So when he got diagnosed, some parents, like humans are meaning-making machines. We need to make meaning out of this. And a meaning that's made often is, I did something wrong to piss off the maker. And that's why this is happening to my son as punishment for me. Which in some, so was that happening for you as well?
Yeah, so not necessarily that, but I was extremely sick the first 20 weeks of my pregnancy with him. And so I didn't either eat, or if I ate, it didn't stay down, to put it politely, right? And that was an all-day thing. The morning sickness was an all-day sickness. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I did this because I didn't keep down nutrition. I did this because I exposed myself to microwaves. Like, yeah, absolutely. My brain wanted to make it my fault For sure. For sure. And let's just play that devil's advocate. Even if it had, even if I did it, what could I do now to fix it? What could I do now to change it? I can't. All I can do is give him a better life moving forward. And so it took a couple of years, but I did drop that guilt
to get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else can I do here?
So everybody get a pencil out or a pen or a phone to write this down, because I don't say intelligent things very often, but I'm about to say something. And Stacey, you're going to be my guinea pig. So get ready. So if you had the chance to go back in time, when the diagnosis comes in and there's, you know, all that trauma going on, if you had asked this question, what is the universe trying to teach me from this event? What's your best guess what the answer would have been at that moment?
Slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down. Slow down in all aspects. Stop trying to be all, do all to everyone, everything. Slow down. Just slow down. He needs you to slow down. You need you to slow down and ask for help in a way that it can be given to you.
Yeah.
And so what I wasn't doing is like asking friends to make meals. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't asking friends to come over and help me clean. I was trying to literally be Superwoman and do it all. Work 45 hours a week, be a wife, be a mother, be a friend. Be a daughter, be a sister.
Be a nurse.
I was trying to be a caretaker, right? Be a medical assistant, be some medical language transcriber, right? Because I had to communicate for the doc in between the doctors. None of the doctors talked to each other. So I was the messenger. And so I learned to speak doctor, which was also to my detriment, because when I spoke doctor during one of his hospitalizations, one of the attendings put people in my room the rest of our stay. That was a 3-week stay because she theorized that I was actually factitious disorder or Munchausen's by proxy. So she thought I was making him sick to get attention for myself, which was the
not the case.
The truth.
It goes back to that. Humans are meaning-making machines. You said this encroached on her territory. So the automatic meaning is Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah, crazy.
So A, dear listeners and viewers, when something amazing happens, like being on a podcast with me, which could be amazing for some people, not many, but it could happen, or something tragic happens, just that one question, what is the universe trying to teach me? And if you believe in a deity, substitute deity in there for you. And sometimes just, well, number one, it gives you perspective. And number two, often gives you wisdom that you're not capable of that moment if you stay in the moment. This kind of pulls you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the second thing that, he's better. And I was reading in your bio that a sibling committed suicide. When did this happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we got Bryce stable and he hasn't been in the hospital for many years now. That was our life for the first 6 years of his life. Hospital stay once a month was not abnormal for us, but he hasn't been in the hospital in many years now. COVID was a little rough. We were definitely isolated for a very long time with that, which was difficult on a multitude of levels, as we all know, right? And then, but before then, in 2016, my baby brother, who was 32 at the time, decided he didn't want to be with us any longer. He was bipolar. And he was an addict. He's one of those opioid stories that we've all heard now. He had many motorcycle accidents. And then after 4 years of being on painkillers, the doctors cut him off cold turkey. And that's brutal. That's brutal. And so he went to the street and he was buying pills. And then that got expensive. And so then he turned to heroin. And yeah. He would be sober and clean for months at a time, just completely white knuckled it. And the longest, right before he relapsed for the final time, he had been clean for 10 months. And something led to his relapse. We still don't know to this day. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And 2 weeks later, he was gone. He was also in the local jail at the time because he had been picked up for shoplifting. So he was under guard. And yet my parents have filed lawsuits, and through discovery, we know that the guard that was supposed to be doing his rounds falsified his records and did not. We know that my brother had been very, very transparent with the intake form and like 180 questions on this intake form. And my brother said he was a heroin user, that he was shooting up, that he had an abscess on his arm, that he was bipolar, that he needed lithium. And the jail decided not to give his lithium anymore because the prescription had expired. But they did decide to give him codeine, which is an opiate, to an opiate addict. And so he was being thrown in and out of withdrawal. And that just absolutely exacerbated his bipolar. And on the day that he died, he actually called the health side of the jail, their contractors actually called them 4 times. And he said, "I am hearing things. My anxiety is out of control. I'm climbing the walls." And they did nothing for him. And he was found around midnight. And
it's a very sad story.
Yeah, there was still a little bit of activity in his brainstem. And so we had to keep him on life support for 3 days. And my parents had to make the choice to turn the machines off. So
it then we go back to that meaning-making machine thing where then it's like, if I loved him, I would not turn it off. I'd go for hope. And then I do love him and I don't want him to suffer. And it's just like such an anguishing kind of place to be. But
yeah, I also don't envy my parents having to make that. Not at all.
So Stacey, why don't you and I play a game? Now that I've totally bummed you out, let's play a game. This is the game we're going to play. The game we're going to play is simple to execute advice that can get somebody into an altered state in terms of they're feeling sad or depressed or just bummed out by the day. Yeah. That, you know. So why don't we just keep on going till we run out of stuff to suggest? And since you're our guest, I will let you go first. Like, what's a piece of advice you'd give someone just to change their state, change their mood, feel better about themselves?
I actually have a perfect thing for this, Umar. Mm-hmm. So my friends, I am a certified mental fitness coach with Positive Intelligence. Positive Intelligence is neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive behavioral psychology, neuroscience, and positive psychology, all wrapped up into one. And it actually rewires your brain. And it is meant to stop the negative thoughts, especially negative self-talk. That's something I specialize in. And rewires it to give you a little pause in order to be able to choose differently.
The circuit breaker. Okay?
It's a circuit breaker. So it's actually an active meditation. So for you out there who like, oh, I can't clear my head. I can never meditate, blah, blah, blah. I bet you can do this. So what I want you to do is I want you to take your first.
I'll be your guinea pig.
Be my guinea pig and your thumb and make like the okay sign. Okay. And then I want you to rub them together. Close your eyes.
Roll smallest violin. Breath. I love it.
Yes. But the intention, sorry, my dogs are going to bark 2 seconds.
Well, as we're waiting for the dogs to bark, this reminds me of Sherlock Holmes, the dog that did not bark because Stacey muted them.
I tried. Okay, so sorry. So
take a deep breath as I'm doing this.
Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And I want you to put such attention to your fingers moving back and forth like the world's smallest violin. Mm-hmm. That you can actually feel the ridges of your fingerprints.
Okay.
Now you're going to have to play with the pressure and the speed at which you rub back and forth with. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Now zoom in a little bit more with your mind. Try to feel those ridges. Get really quiet. Put all of the intention and attention to feeling those ridges. Now come back to me. While you're doing that, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for anxiety. There's no room for sadness. There's no room for the hamster wheel that we all get on. Mm. All you can do is concentrate in order to feel those ridges. So
A, I love that. And B, I got a pop quiz for you.
Yeah.
Why did God invent fleas? You were talking about dogs barking. So why did God invent fleas? To give dogs something to do. And this exercise gives your mind, runaway mind, something to do and focus on, and by definition quiets it down. So totally brilliant. So I love your number one suggestion for changing state. Here's my suggestion. It's going to be like a clap of thunder. Like just literally you could go like, and just smile like a freaking idiot for a moment. Don't do this in public, but just that one, you just get used to just when you feel that negative, what it does is it forces you to notice when the negative comes, and you get more and more adept at getting it. Not 30 seconds after it starts, you get down to 15 and 10, and then pretty soon you get to milliseconds. Oh my God, it's coming. Just smile and move forward. So
number three, I love
you,
that,
Stacey.
Catching it's the hardest part. Catching it is the hardest part of any of this in the reprogramming.
Absolutely.
So if you can, even if you catch it 3 minutes later, hey, you caught it. Bravo. That's amazing. And then, like you said, down, right? Absolutely. So my number three for me is speaking like sounding like an idiot. Here's a fantastic breath that I love to do. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a big breath, and then at the top, you're going to take it a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Now, when you blow out, I want you to sigh really loud so you sound like a dumbass.
So why do you like that? And then I'll tell you a little story about it.
Yeah. I like it because it sounds ridiculous and you can't feel anything other than like, man, I'm ridiculous, right, at this point in time. But actually, actually stimulates your vagus nerve, and that nerve, it goes through.
Are you saying that because you live in Las Vegas? Is that what you're doing?
The Vegas.
You're promoting the city. Are you getting paid for this?
I should. Let me call the mayor. Mayor Goodman? Hello. So it's V-A-G-U-S versus V-E-G-A-S, but it's also called the wandering nerve in your body, and it goes down to all your extremities. And it is responsible for fight or flight. And so when you sigh like that, big sigh out, and the breath, so not only does it's the breath and the sigh together, it brings in what's called your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your calming nervous system. And it activates that nerve to kind of get back into line and stop firing like a crazy person. And so it's two things in one. And also, again, when you sigh really loud like that, you can't help but smile because you sound like an idiot. So I love it.
So I'm not coming for number four, but I'm going to just talk about that sighing. So one of the things that I teach people or used to is whenever you want, take a big, deep breath in and remember the time when you were a little kid and your grandmother or your mother made your favorite food and you overate and you did that contented sigh. It's like that joy. And so I would send emails out to people that went through a workshop, and one of the days it would be a sighing day where I'd tell them to do that. And so the director of workforce development called me and said, Umar, what the hell, man? I had my door open and all I hear is sighing all around the office. So they're doing what you're telling them. All right, so here's my number four. My number four is this, is that Stacy, and dear listeners, viewers, but Stacy's going to be my guinea pig. You know, one of the times where you felt like crap, where this negativity came in. So tell me about one of those times where you felt that. Could have been last week, last year. Do you have a particular time?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been overworking myself for a few months now. Present to it, still chose to do it. And so I stopped last week, but my body hadn't caught up yet. So my body has been like, ugh, what are you doing? We've got to be doing something. We're supposed to be doing something. Why are you being lazy? And I'd sit there and fight my brain and my body and go, no, guys, we're okay. I'm going to sit here intentionally and do nothing until you stop chattering. And it was so much negative self-talk around, why are you being so lazy? You've got things to do.
So everyone's got one of those where you've got that negative thing. So just for half a second, Stacey, I want you to take a deep breath for a moment and let it out slowly. And then go back to that time where you're having that rumination. So go back wherever you were in your living room or this. See what you saw back then. Hear what you heard back then. And you start feeling that negativity in your body. Where do you feel it?
Always here. It's where my anxiety lives. It's right in my chest.
Yeah. So just for a moment, go there and just sample that anxiety, that feeling right there, and just go to your unconscious brain, higher self, say higher self. Notice higher that self. Feeling. And the moment you feel it, just get me to do that big sigh and get a stupid grin on my face.
Ah.
And then let that go for a second. Because oftentimes what's happening is it's hard to catch it till it's over. But if you go back purposefully to one of those times and go, oh, so this is what it feels like when that's happening. And you can train your mind to go, okay, that's it. When you're actually feeling it for real, then it's traumatic and you're caught up in it. This way you can kind of go, okay, I know what that feels like. And then your brain will go, okay, Stacey, I know what you're talking about. So you get one last piece of advice and I'll give the final one. And then we'll pause this game.
All right. And so big fan of breath work, if you haven't discovered that already. And so here's one I do, another one I do with my clients all the time. And I want you to breathe in through your nostrils. So close your mouth, breathe in through your nostrils. But as you do, I want you to pick a color that represents whatever you want to bring to your life right then. Peace, calm, joy, happiness, knowing, like whatever that is. Okay. Assign a color to it. And when you breathe in, I want you to imagine that color and that feeling is coming up through your nostrils, in through the cavity, down in through your lungs, and just lighting your body with that color of that light and that emotion. Now, when you breathe out, you're going to breathe out like you've got a straw in your mouth. So, and it's forceful. And I want you to assign a color to a negative emotion that you're trying to get rid of. Negativity.
I love it.
Anxiety. Rumination, whatever that is. And when you breathe out, that color comes out. Now, in the middle, when you're holding it, you're going to see those colors mix together and then it's going to come out. So if you breathe in, let's say pink for happiness, right? Come breathe in pink, pink, pink all through my body. Then it mixes with a dark green for stress. Okay, it's all mixing. And then here comes the dark green out of my body. And that's the stress. So you want to?
I love it. That's actually a genius one.
Great.
When it gives you something to do, and then it. But here's a couple of things. So light has frequency. Different colors have different frequencies. And I wonder how the two kind of combine with the internal compass that knows a lot of things. That I want to bring pink in. So, dear listeners, do not get caught up on which color does what. Just whatever color you happen to pick to represent whatever you want at that moment is the right color. And so let me give you my last one. What would be the last one? So this is an oldie but a goodie, that think of one thing you're grateful for. And, you know, some people actually do that on a regular basis. I am grateful for, there's an amazing woman just sitting on the other side of this laptop, Fina. And my fiance, we're getting married in 3 weeks, by the way. And
so exciting.
That would be nice. I'm grateful for her. That would be nice. But if I added, I'm grateful for her because she makes me feel like a whole person. The juice is in the because. And then if I add a third thing, go to a moment in time where she actually did that for me and feel that emotion of oneness, wholeness, that trifecta of if I'm grateful for, this is because, and go to a moment in time where I actually felt it. Just doing that, just changes the way you show up in the world every day.
I'd like to add, turn that love, that wholeness, that oneness, after you feel it for Gina, turn it inward as well.
Sure. Oh, I love it. And superb. So Stacey, before you tell us how people can get a hold of you, what one thing you'd like to share with the listeners, viewers, that they should know?
Yeah. It's never too late, you guys. It's never too late. I lived a life being checked out on autopilot for everybody else for a lot of my life, a lot of my life. And then after my brother died, that was a huge wake up call. We only have literally right this second. Tomorrow's not promised. An hour from now is not promised. We only have right now. So what do you want to do with it? And I know it's easy to get that hamster wheel of, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. And then the kids have karate. And then da, 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 da. You've got now. What do you want to do now? And please make it be about something you want to do. What I didn't understand for all those years is me sacrificing myself in the name of love, however that platonic, romantic, familiar, familial, whatever, right? Was not showing myself love.
Yeah.
So what can you do right now that would show yourself some love? Because if you don't show it to yourself first, you will not be able to show it to anybody else for an elongated, prolonged time. And I made myself physically sick. I have fibromyalgia now because of all of that internalized stress. So after my brother died and I came out of that depression, I was like, that's it. No more. I'm actually going to do what I came on this planet to do, which is impact others. And so 3.5 years ago, I went and I got my first coaching certification and started coaching. And my gosh, the change internally that has happened with that, I will forever be grateful. I will forever be grateful. I love it.
So how can people find you, Stace?
Yeah. So a few short minutes coaching.com. Again, it's a little play on words. My last name is Short. And honestly, it only takes a few short minutes a day to notice, right? To be mindful, to catch your thought, to take a breath, to rub your fingers together. It only takes a few short minutes a day consistently to actually rewire your brain. And that's neuroscience, and they've proven that. And so that's kind of the encompassing of my name and my coaching business name. So a few short minutes coaching.com. I actually have a beautiful step-by-step guide to a self-love journey on there. So go grab it. It's free. It even has a 30-day self-love challenge in it.
I love it.
And Stacey Short on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on TikTok, LinkedIn. Come and chat and just let's just have a conversation. Let's just connect.
Stacey, thanks so much for being on the show. We're going to do a quick outro and then let's chat for a few more minutes.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating. And if you're looking for more tools, go to my website at nolimitselling.com. I've got a free mind training course there that's going to teach you some insights from the world of neuro-linguistic programming, and that is the fastest way to get better results.
So, Stacey, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a joy doing the interview.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it so much. Oh my gosh. Yeah, fantastic. So, man, I love this.
So, what did you like about the podcast and the interview, and what's something that could be better?
Yeah, so super easy to talk to. Super appreciate that always. Love the back and forth of, you know, tools. That's amazing. Nothing. The flow is easy. It made sense to me. Yeah, no, great job. Great job, Umar.
A handsomer host. Other than that, it was cool. Well, good luck on your journey, Stacey. Perfect. And let's stay in touch. And Bushra was my ninja that did this. She'll be in touch. Just say hi, let you know when this thing airs. And if you think of anyone else that should be on the show, please let us know.
I have a whole slew of coaches. I'm actually a mindset coach to other coaches in my in my day job. And so you let me know what kind of coaches if you're looking for a specific kind of coaches, and I will share your link through Bushra. Absolutely. I can do that for you. Right. Is there any kind of coaches specifically that you're looking at? I've got neurodivergent. I have spiritual. I have business. I have a marriage.
Neurodivergent. What does that mean?
ADHD and autism.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, that would be a good person to chat with.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've got a few.
And I'll get Bushra to kind of touch base on the other stuff. because that just gives us a deeper understanding of mindset. And sometimes seeing it from a different lens gives you insights into what we're working on right now. So totally brilliant. Stacey, have a kick-ass amazing day and looking forward to our next conversation.
Me too. Congratulations and happy lunch. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.